The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Morning, Fairbanks. Welcome to Problem Corner. My name is Frank Tomaszewski, representative of here in the Fairbanks area. And I just want to say this, welcome to KFARradio.com if you're looking online. And we are broadcasting on 97.5 FM, 660 AM. And today in the studio, I have an amazing guest here. And I just want to say a big thank you to all the men and women serving in the military today. They have an amazing job, a very important job. But today we have the current commander of Eielson Air Force Base, Colonel Johnston. And I just want to say thank you, Colonel, for your service to the Air Force and to our community. And welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Tomaszewski. Really excited to be here. I'm a newcomer to Alaska, just got here in early July, and excited to speak to my neighbors.
Fantastic. So tell me, Colonel Johnston, why did you end up joining the Air Force, and could you tell us a little bit about your history and your career?
I appreciate that. It was 1995, and my dad sat me down at lunch, and he told me he was not going to pay for college. He said, but I will fly you out to look at the Air Force Academy. And I had never heard of this place, nor had I thought about the military. I'm from a small mill town and on the edge of nowhere in Oregon. No military footprint there, so I didn't really even consider it. And then he flew me out there. I fell in love with the U.S. Air Force Academy. And then later I fell in love with the Air Force. And now I just really just enjoyed the opportunity to serve America and her people. And then now it's going on 24 years later after I was commissioned, and we're up here in Alaska.
That's terrific. You know, interesting story, because I think I had the same conversation with my kids. And you're gonna pay your way, you know, from all the way from buying your first car to, you know, paying for college education. Got to get up and get it done. So, well, thank you. That's amazing that your father pushed you in that direction. That's really good to have father's influence in your lives is very important for any family. Today as commander, what is your job of the 354th Fighter Wing?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. The 354th Fighter Wing is a really dynamic unit. You're talking about 4,000 airmen. On any given day, we have about 10,000 people on our installation. That's made up of contractors, civilians, airmen, and then we have over 900 families that live on the base, and then we have a lot of our younger airmen that are single that live in our dormitories. So also important to note that we partner with the 168th wing out there as well. The 168th, these are all Alaskans. They fly the tanker mission, among other missions that they accomplish in the state. But that tanker mission, when you think fighters, which is the primary responsibility that I have as the commander of the 354th, they do not go anywhere without all that gas that our tanker brethren bring to us. And we'll talk more about this later, no doubt. But that's a growing mission, which is a good thing. That's more jobs there in the 168th for Alaskans. But for the 354th, our what I call our sexy mission is the F-35. So we've got two combat go-to-war type squadrons. We have about 53 F-35s. Right now, one of our teams is returning with F-35s from Japan. But those are rotational forces that we'll send where the combatant commanders need them. But in general, on any given day, you've got about 36 to 53 F-35s sitting at Eielson. Those are fifth-gen fighters that are made to fight those high-end fights. It's a stand-in mission, so they're going to be right there on the front lines doing what they do with that unique and critical capability. We also do homeland defense. So we just saw when the President of the United States visited Anchorage, Alaska to meet with President Putin, what the public didn't see is that we had fighters airborne that entire time, defending the president, defending Alaska. We escorted President Putin in from the second he got close to our air identification zone while he was on the ground and until he went back into Russian airspace. Those were armed U.S. fighters and our 168th tankers out there helping us out with all that gas as we transitioned thousands of miles that day. But that homeland defense, we've had that mission in Eielson for the last 2 years. Before that, it was held down at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. But that mission was moved here. It's primarily done with our F-16s, but the F-35s are more than capable of doing it. If we need help from F-22s, then we've got that capability out of Anchorage as well. Fabulous. We are almost 40 for 40. We're 100% rate of escorting Russians and Chinese out of our airspace in Alaska. They don't get anywhere near the territory of Alaska. They're just not following international norms when it comes to the sovereignty and of our country and identifying themselves as they try and enter airspace. That's the other mission. Third mission of Eielson Air Force Base is that when those F-35s go wherever the combatant commanders and the president needs them to go, Eielson is a major power production platform. And we'll go more into just how unique it is as a base and what being in the interior of Alaska means and how central that position is to operations in places we want to get to quickly, like the Pacific, but we're quite centrally located. And so Eielson provides a unique capability for a lot of fuel, a lot of ramp space, one of the biggest runways on the planet that can fit any asset the U.S. Air Force or anybody else has, lots of dormitories for people to stay, and then obviously we've got the community here, so if we need more rental cars for people as they come in to launch missions out of Eielson, we've got that capacity there. We also have Air Support Operations Group. There are four squadrons of terminal air controllers. So these are people that are have very niche capability to employ weapons very close to friendly troops. They are located in 11 places throughout the Pacific. So we have that mission as well. And then we have the JPARC. This is the most pristine airspace on the planet. It's owned by the U.S. Air Force, and it's mostly to the east of Fairbanks. We also have space over the Gulf of Alaska, and there is some airspace west of Fairbanks as well, and it goes all the way down to Anchorage. But that airspace allows us to train just like we would fight. So we go up every single day into that airspace and train with our fighters, our tankers, our bombers, and just absolutely amazing airspace.
Yeah, it is a big area, and I know there's a lot of moose out there. I believe it's 20A. I think I've been out there hunting moose once or twice. But we are up for a break, and so we're going to go to commercial break, and we thank you for listening, and be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi there, I'm Garrett Armstrong, and I'm running for Borough Assembly. I was born and raised in Fairbanks, and I've worked and played across our borough. I'm a teacher, and I'm running for Borough Assembly to support our schools, support our seniors, and support economic growth and development. At my school, I solve problems and work with a wide variety of people every day, and I'd bring that experience to the Assembly. I'd also work to maintain current borough services, including our amazing Parks and Rec. If you want a problem solver on the Assembly, then vote for me, Garrett Armstrong, this October 7th. Paid for by Garrett Armstrong for Borough Assembly, P.O. Box 73724, Fairbanks, Alaska, 9970.
As the snow creeps down the mountains and crunches under your boots, Alaska Gear Company only has one question. Are you ready? Introducing the Bunny Boot VBX Lite for those who move fast and travel light. And the Bunny Boot VBX Max, built for the extreme Pre-order yours now for a limited time discount. Gear up right, gear up local. Stop on by Alaska Gear Company, 730 Old Steese Highway in Fairbanks.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at KFARradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Mainly cloudy today with a high of 39. Southwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, 26. 44 tomorrow, slight chance of rain. Temps a bit below average Thursday and Friday with highs in the low 40s. Chance for snow mixing with, then changing to rain. Thursday, rain likely on Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
And welcome back to Problem Corner. I am your host, Frank Tomaszewski, here in studio with the commander of Eielson, Colonel Johnston. And it's really interesting to watch certain things on TV, on Fox News, or wherever it's happening. And when you were discussing the when President Putin came over and met with Donald Trump in Alaska, which is really an amazing historic event, the beautiful stealth bombers that flew overhead and some of the other aircraft, that was truly what's the sound of freedom is what it is. And we really appreciate all that our military and our Air Force does for us. So when exactly did you assume command of the 354th?
Yep, took command on 2 July. And no sooner did I take command than we deployed out. We call it our Air Expeditionary Wing. But we took a lot of our fighters from here, and we took some fighters that we had in Japan at the time. We met up in the Pacific and hopped around a bunch of islands for a few weeks to showcase that capacity to deploy and train wherever and whenever we need to. And then came back in early August. So since early August, I've been enjoying Alaska.
And so what do you think of Alaska so far? Was this actually your first trip up here, or have you been to Alaska before? And what do you think? Are you a hunter? Are you a fisherman? Do you enjoy the outdoors?
I would describe my Alaska experience as surreal. It was awesome. I've got 3 little kids. And my wife and I, and we drove up from Phoenix, so definitely a change. I had no idea it rained so much. So we crossed into Tok. We immediately went down to Seward and did a halibut fishing trip down there with my middle daughter. I think we saw every single animal or fish that lives in the ocean. It was incredible. And she just had a blast doing that with me. And then we came up the Richardson through Delta Junction and Salcha, and arrived on base. Since we've been here, we go out almost every night looking for moose. And again, if a giraffe showed up in my backyard tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised. We've just seen more wildlife. I think it was day 2, my son caught a 15-inch trout that we had for dinner on July 3rd, I think. It's been surreal. The people have been fantastic. This has been the most hospitality I've ever seen in my military career. The reception we've had and the friends we've already made since we've been here. So we are loving it. I'm told it's about ready to get cold. I do not think we are done buying jackets yet. But we got the cars winterized, so we're feeling good about that.
Well, layers are a good thing, and I believe they probably teach you guys that in cold weather training. So, and you probably have a little bit different view when you get up because you are a pilot, and so when you get up in that F-35, the amazing views of Alaska, you're cruising around the mountaintops and everywhere else. You probably I know you have a better view of Alaska than many have seen. You know, we jump on a commercial flight and we hop from Fairbanks to Anchorage or Fairbanks to Seattle, but we don't get to see the up close and the beautiful scenery that Alaska has to offer.
Yeah, I appreciate that question. I was blown away with my first mission here. I flew with our wing weapons officers. So these are your Maverick Top Gun 2 type pilot. So we went out in a two ship. And he led me around the J-Park, our massive range, 120,000 square miles. And we flew over the Alaskan Range and the Yukon River, over the glaciers, the mountains, the endless trees. And that's what blows me away about being particularly east of Fairbanks. You have 3,500 miles of forest until you end up in Nova Scotia. It's like nothing I've ever seen before, just the vastness of it all. And I even told the other pilot, I was like, I actually got nervous at one point. I was like, if I have to eject in this environment, I hope someone comes and picks me up real quick. It is just wild. It's wonderful.
I'm sure you got a survival kit just in case. You know that. Well, hopefully that never happens.
We're the military. We got a lot of backup. Yeah. We're good.
So we talked a little bit about Homeland Defense and the mission of the 354th Fighter Wing. How does the 354 aid in Homeland Defense?
And I appreciate that question. Homeland Defense is a critically important mission set. And we've known this since the 30s, how key Alaska is to the defense of our country. And that's why you see it. It has got a very large military footprint between the particularly the Army and the Air Force. And it's a strategic location, like we talked about, the ability to range to places you need to go quickly. And I think when you look at a map, it doesn't do Alaska service. It looks like it's just up there in the high north, right on the edge of the Arctic. But when you tip over a globe and you look at the world looking straight down on Alaska, you realize it's not on the edge of nowhere. It's in the center of everywhere. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's why we want Fort Wainwright here. It's why we need Elmendorf Richardson. It's why you need a place like Eielson with just a lot of capacity to move things. And then Fort Greely, obviously, with their interceptor force there as well. Alaska just offers a great protection to the United States. We can ID things very quickly from here. We can launch fighters to do homeland defense if required. We can ground-based intercept missiles and other things from here. And then the ability to use the Army to get places very rapidly with all the airfields that we have throughout Alaska. So just a great capability. The homeland defense mission is enduring. And really, even though it is a directed mission for my base, and the 354th Fighter Wing, it's really all of our responsibility in the military for homeland defense.
Absolutely. And as citizens, too. Yeah, everybody needs to keep an eye out and, you know, be on the lookout.
Yes,
so,
sir.
So we were talking about winter coming and extreme temperatures. How does the F-35 handle? I worked out on Eielson for several years as an electrician back in the late 90s, and I remember those A-10 bombers or the A-10s coming in, and they almost looked like they just kind of float through the air and land. They're amazing aircrafts. How do the extreme temperatures affect your aircraft?
Yeah, it is a harsh environment, but the what we do to protect the aircraft, as long as they're running, it's almost like your car. You got to winterize it, so the fluids in that jet are made to operate at very cold temps, because it's cold in the middle of summer where we're flying. If I'm up at 50,000 feet, it's below freezing at that altitude. So the jets can take it. They just need to be running. So when they're on the ground in between sorties, we actually have very sophisticated shelters that all those aircraft are in. We do not let them be outside during the wintertime. They're just not built to handle those kind of conditions when they're turned off. We'd have to thaw them out. So they're kept inside temperature-controlled shelters. And then the pilot will maintenance will fix the jet, have it ready for the pilot. The pilot comes out. We keep the heat on. The pilot is about ready to start the motor. We start opening up the doors. And once that motor goes, we can get the oil and everything up to the temperature it needs to be at. And then the pilot will taxi out that aircraft onto a ramp, finish up all the ground ops to have the plane ready to fly, and then we button up that snow shelter so that people can go back to work.
Yeah, it's amazing watching those F-35s take off out there as you're driving through the neighborhood, and you can see that, you know, winter, summer, doesn't matter. You're out there patrolling, and love the sound of it. And, you know, really is the sound of freedom. And we were talking about defense, you know, and Russia, they love to, you know, buzz around our airspace and try to, I don't know, they're running their training missions too, and seeing how they can agitate us or whatever they're trying to do. I just read a story about the Tu-95 Bear Bombers, and apparently they can carry a cruise missile. How does that work exactly? Do they have to be over the land and to drop that, or do they can they just drop it from anywhere and let it go?
Yeah, so there's many different weapon systems an adversary can use out of a bomber. One of them is a cruise missile. They could just drop gravity bombs. So this is just the Bear Bombers flying at 0.7 Mach, so a few hundred miles per hour, and it drops just a bomb. So an explosive inside a casing. That bomb can maybe, using gravity, go 5, 10 miles, something like that. To really get legs, we call it legs, but to really get range out of a weapon system, you're going to put a motor on it. And when you think of a cruise missile, this is a warhead with a couple hundred pounds of explosives in it that's got a little jet motor on the back of it. And so something like the Tu-95 is, when they push that pickle button, they release those weapons, they're going to come out of a bomb bay. The jet engine on that cruise missile is going to ignite, and it's going to basically fly itself to a predetermined target. And so one of the missions of Homeland Defense is to prepare for that eventuality and how to protect ourselves from a cruise missile attack, just like the ground-based interceptors at Fort Greely are made for medium-range and intercontinental missiles.
We've got a heavy arsenal of defense capabilities here in Alaska. That's that's good to know for the nation, for Alaska, for freedom.
I wouldn't fight us.
I would not either. Now, that F-35, does it have a passenger seat?
It does not.
It does not. Okay, so no taxi rides on the F-35.
Which is unfortunate, because with the F-16 mission, those have two-seaters. And I'm telling you, that back seat of a fighter is a magical place. And you talk about, if you've got a young airman that you want to retain that's doing great work, mm-hmm. Much like some of the guys in the studio here, I'm looking at Carson, one of my public affairs officers. You get them in the backseat of an F-16, they're never leaving the military. It is a very special place, and you know, we'll take up, elected officials. We'll take up people in the community to just show them our mission and the importance of what we're trying to do out there. And that is, unfortunately, with the F-35 and F-22, they are single seat, which, you know, to put that extra seat in there, you're taking space you could have put more advanced technology in, electronics, and fuel. Mm-hmm. So for the most part, all fighters are going single seat just to buy back a little bit of space. But so we try and get people into the simulators.
Okay, and with that, we are going to take our break for the half hour here, and I'm here with Colonel Johnston of Eielson Air Force Base, and we will be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
News. I'm John Saucier. Congress looking at a midnight deadline to fund the government or see a partial shutdown. President Trump, are we about to see a shutdown?
Nothing is inevitable, but I would say it's probably likely because they want to give health care to illegal immigrants, which will destroy health care for everybody else in our country. And I didn't see them bend even a little bit when I said we can't do that.
Democrats have cited the Medicaid cuts and the Big Beautiful Bill, which are projected to cause more than 10 million Americans to lose health coverage over the next decade. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says Democrats' mission is simple.
We are fighting to lower the high cost of living and to protect the health care of everyday Americans.
Senate Republicans say those subsidies don't even expire till the end of the year, so those conversations can happen after the government is funded. President Trump and Pfizer announcing an agreement earlier today to lower Medicaid drug prices. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports the state of Alaska is preparing to continue critical services in the event of a federal government shutdown, Governor Mike Dunleavy announced Monday in a press release. Executive branch departments have been directed to review federally funded programs and develop contingency plans to minimize disruptions. While many services are expected to continue due to advance or automatic funding, others may face challenges depending on federal guidance and funding availability. Historically, Alaska has managed to keep federally funded programs running during shutdowns, the statement said. The state plans to do the same now, using available funds and following the latest direction from federal agencies. Approximately 4,800 executive branch positions are at least partially funded by the federal government. These employees are expected to continue working and receiving pay unless otherwise directed. Federally embedded employees within state departments will follow procedures set by their federal agencies. The state says it will reassess priorities if the shutdown lasts beyond a month or if federal funding conditions change.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our very best waiting for you today, just $6. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizzas for $6. Customer Appreciation Day is today at Gapco. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizza for $6.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
Hello, Fairbanks. Brett Roderman here, candidate for Borough Assembly. Once upon a time, in the land of make-believe, I was running unopposed. Back in Realityville, today, we have a write-in candidate. I just want to remind you, a governing body that is run on only one philosophy, one opinion, one ideology, does its citizens no good. You need differences. You need debate. You need balance. Please vote for me, Brett Roderman, for Borough Assembly.
Paid for by Brett for Assembly, P.O. Box 80741, Fairbanks 99708.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Getting a little personal here, but true story. So I hurt my knee and a friend says, go see Dr. Kim Driftmeyer at McKinley Orthopedics. So glad I did. Turns out I needed surgery. Dr. Driftmeyer and his team took great care of everything right here in Fairbanks. MRI, physical therapy, surgery, all in one place. Easy, efficient, honestly, kind of pleasant. Oh, and did you know he's also an outstanding spine surgeon? Sports injury, broken bones, or just need a tune-up? Go see Dr. Kim Driftmeyer. McKinley Orthopedics. Trusted care, local team, real results.
After selling out last trip, Emmy Award-winning comedian Greg Fitzsimmons is returning to Fairbanks. Catch him live Wednesday, October 1st at the North Pole Ale House, Thursday the 2nd at the Spur, with a venue change Friday and Saturday night, the 3rd and 4th, for two intimate shows at the historic Palace Theater and Saloon in Pioneer Park. Tickets at alaskacomedy.com. Brought to you by Zach's Restaurant at Sophie Station and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station. Don't miss Fitz.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Okay, welcome back, Fairbanks. This is Frank Tomaszewski here in the studio. With me is Colonel Johnston of Eielson Air Force Base. And so we've been talking a little about homeland defense. We've been talking about strategic locations of Alaska. Let's talk a little bit about red flag. We've heard the term red flag. It's a mission. It's a training. Tell us about that. How long has it been going on, or what can you tell us about that?
I love talking about red flag. We do three red flags a year. Sometimes you'll hear the term Northern Edge. That's a red flag-like exercise we do as well. But we use red flag. This came out of Vietnam. So when everybody came home from Vietnam and we lost a lot of air crew, we lost a lot of aircraft. And what was determined is that if a fighter pilot can fly against somebody that looks a lot and flies a lot like an adversary would, that if they can get through 10 of those missions in training, their odds of survival in combat were substantially increased. And what Red Flag attempts to do is put as many jets make the most difficult tactical problem for the pilot to solve, and it's an in-depth 3 weeks, just go out every day and train as hard as you can against a very savvy, we call it red air, that's where Red Flag comes from, but those are aircraft simulating bad guys, and it's not just aircraft, it's things on the ground, it's command and control. We cyber attack the blue forces. We make it as difficult a problem to solve as possible. And what we really like to do is, these aren't just U.S. forces. We like to bring in our allies and partners from the Atlantic side, whether those are NATO forces or they're coming from our Pacific allies and partners as well, and work alongside each other. And when you train like this, all those little things like making all our radios talk to one another, making sure all our secure comms work, making sure they understand the best tactics possible, so that when I fly with a Japanese squadron, that they're gonna perform in a way that looks a lot like what the U.S. is gonna do, and we can train together. We're gonna fight together, and it's as seamless as possible.
I can't imagine the adrenaline coming pumping through the veins of someone that, when they've got to get up there and figure out, who are these guys coming in my radar, and what am I going to do? And
it's incredible, difficult training that only the U.S. can host to the scope and scale that we do it at. And these are long days. People go home completely exhausted after Red Flag, but they've learned a ton.
And I imagine that there's a lot of, even after all the air missions, everything, that there's maybe some downtime to dialogue with these other countries and the other fighter pilots and everyone else that comes in and does that. So they get a lot of time to talk and build camaraderie.
It's 100%. I will say they are extremely busy when they're here, but usually they'll get here a little bit early. They'll leave a little bit late so they can explore Alaska and enjoy. And people want to come here in the summertime. Red flag in the winter would be very difficult to pull off, but the fact is, it's a brief fly debrief cycle, and basically we have what we call crew rest, but to keep that pilot so that they can keep going for days and weeks and months on end in actual combat, we try not to work them more than 12 hours. So the second they come through that gate, it hacks a clock of 12 hours, and generally speaking, it's when the door shuts out of the building is when that clock ends. And so we have to make sure we're pushing them out the building at the 12-hour point. So they're pretty tired. I will say they are not looking at Alaska Monday through Friday. But on the weekends, some of those guys and gals can get out and experience the joy of being in Alaska in summer.
Maybe find a hot spring. Maybe find a little lake to do some fishing.
Absolutely.
Whatever, sightseeing. Yeah, that's great. And not too many northern lights going in the summertime.
No,
either, so.
Unfortunately.
Oh, real good. And so that's important. I think, you know, when we have dialogue with our friends and or with our allies, that's always an important thing to, you know, just build cohesion within our allies. And, you know, because, you know, when we're talking to each other, that's a good thing.
Well, and you bring up a great point. We just had the Finnish here. They just joined NATO. They have decided to buy the F-35. So they were coming to us to look at what does it look like to operate a weapon system like the F-35 in a harsh climate. And so we were able to spend a week with them and show them what we've learned. They're going to take those lessons back as well. We have the Japanese here. They just took off as I was leaving base to come up here to Fairbanks. So four F-15Js, the Japanese model, they flew to NATO to show a little bit of resolve. For Japan supporting our European allies and partners, and they're on their way back. Wonderful dialogues with their whole team out here, and just really awesome to see our Japanese ally and what they're capable of. And they loved their trip to Alaska, I will tell you that. It was great. I took the Colonel Mitsuyaka. He and I went out, and I showed him some moose and a beaver, and he just couldn't believe it.
That is amazing. That's really cool. I'm glad to hear those sorts of things happening. And so Finland is really, weather-wise, they're pretty much just like Alaska. They got the great northern lights. They got the beautiful cold winter nights and everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, one of the reasons the military is in Alaska is how geostrategic it is. But another reason is we don't get to pick where we go to combat and when we go to combat. And if combat is in the high north or anywhere that's really cold, you've got to be prepared for it. It's one of the reasons we're up here. And when you look at the problems that Finland has, they have an immense land border with Russia. Now, that's wild terrain out there, very mountainous. Mm. You know, what would an invasion of Finland look like? And the F-35 provides them a great capability, but how they operate that near a potential adversary, they've got a difficult problem set up there. And so we were very happy to show them how we operate here. And, you know, we're just blessed. One of the most beautiful things about the United States is the fact we're really an island. We've got the Atlantic on one side. You got the Pacific on the other. You've got our great ally, the Canadians, to the north. You've got Mexico, a big partner of ours, to the south. You got to come a long way to try and attack the United States. Not so much for a country like Finland. They are right there on the borders of potential adversaries. So a wicked problem for them, and we are just more than happy to assist them with that problem set.
Yeah, it's good to know, to have friends around the world. It is definitely a good thing, and the more allies we have, the better. And so, and that really, you know, that so Finland also is in a very strategic location. If you spin that globe, all the Arctic countries there are somewhat in strategic locations, you know, and I really believe that it's an important thing to have all our friends and allies get together for something like Red Flag. How many countries come to it? And
It depends on the objectives of the Red Flag. So mm-hmm. It's a very long planning cycle. So we just finished Northern Edge, in this case, in September, and we're already planning the next Red Flag. So it just depends on what the objectives are and which countries, depending on those objectives, which countries are more appropriate to show up. So there might be ones that we want our NATO allies to come to, and we're going to focus on fifth gen, so F-35, F-22 type operations against a particular problem set. Or tactical objectives, or maybe we want South Korea and Japan to show up to work against a different problem set. So it just really depends on the nature of what we're trying to get after. And Red Flag is informed by all the combatant commands on what they want us training against and being prepared to execute.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good thing. So one other thing that, you know, has recently been in the news is something about funding for our government. I don't think the military is probably worried about losing funding, but there's been government shutdown talking on the news. And so, how will that affect ILSEN?
Well, it will have an effect when it comes to our ability to execute our missions. We are going to execute. Mm-hmm. If the word comes that we need to deploy or defend the homeland, that is an internal mission that will absolutely happen. But we do rely on our civilians, contractors, and airmen, and this will mean that some of our civilians that work on base, there won't be funding for that. Now, what typically happens is as the president and Congress work through this, is typically those certain people will come to work. If they're working critical infrastructure, things that will shut down our base or directly impact our go-to-war type missions, they're still coming to work. But for those that have different jobs, they may not come to work for a few days. But typically what we've seen is in the back end, and we'll TBD, but typically Congress back pays them for the time that they went home.
Right, and that's a good thing, especially if you're working. You should get paid, I would think. And we're going to take a break, And we'll be right back with Colonel Johnson from Eielson Air Force Base.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
No one needs to tell you when your sewer line or septic system is broken, it's a mountain of a problem. Move that mountain with Moving Mountains Excavation and General Contracting. Complete sewer and septic system installations, new builds, and repairs. The experience and the equipment to get your job done. On time, on budget. Call for your free quote, Moving Mountains Excavation and General Contracting. Move your mountain. Call Scott and Julie at 907-590-4977.
Hello, folks. I'm JT McComas Rowe, and I'm running to represent you on your borough assembly. Now, you may think that taxes aren't on the ballot in this election, but don't be fooled. Who you vote for on October 7th will absolutely impact how deep the borough gets its hands into your pocket. You work hard for your money, and you should have a say in how your money gets spent. So vote JT McComas Rowe on October 7th.
Paid for by McComas Rowe for Assembly, POB 72789, Fairbanks.
Don't waste your time waiting in box store lines. Experience the customer service of Denali Industrial Supply. For nearly 40 years, Denali has been helping Alaskans build Alaska. Their knowledgeable staff has the experience, knows the products, and can get you what you need. Through September, come in and find the best prices on Makita power tools. Don't wait. These Makita deals are only through September, only while supplies last, and only at Denali Industrial Supply. Denali Industrial Supply, 1499 Van Horn Road. Look for the big red roof.
40 Below is hard on all vehicles, especially if they just sit outdoors during a long Fairbanks winter. Seals, trims, tires, well, you know what I'm talking about. News flash, there's a new indoor heated storage option for your baby. It's Boat Street Storage. They currently have limited spaces for cars, trucks, ATVs, and side-by-sides with reasonable prices and a warm, cozy, and secure facility. But it's filling up fast. So go to BoatStreetStorage.com and check it out. Boat Street Storage, come in from the cold.
KFAR weather.
Mainly cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 39. Winds out of the southwest around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 26. Tonight, cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies tomorrow, slight chance of rain. High temperatures reach up to 44. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And welcome back. This is Representative Frank Tomaszewski. In the studio with me is Colonel Johnston from Eielson Air Force Base. And we've been talking about Eielson issues. We're talking about red flag. We're talking about homeland defense. But, you know, there's something we should also be talking about is young people who want to join the Air Force, join the military. What are some of the benefits? You talked a little bit about your education and joining the Air Force. How would a young person go about getting some more information on the benefits and how to join the military or the Air Force in particular?
No, I appreciate that that question, Mr. Representative. I will say, you know, I joined the Air Force because I didn't want to get in debt paying for college, but I stay because of the service. And waking up every day knowing I have a mission to execute for the American people, it is just a great way to be. It's just a huge comfort to me that I have an incredibly important job and responsible for enabling other airmen to do the same thing. What I noticed about Alaskans is how skilled people are here. This is not a place that suffers fools in the interior of Alaska. You know, people know how to work on cars here. They know how to weld. They know how to build things. They know how to work hard. These are the exact skill sets we want in our military. So I will say, I think Alaskans that are thinking about joining, young people that are thinking about joining, I think you bring skill sets that we absolutely want. For those of you who maybe don't have those skill sets, we're going to teach them to you. Mm-hmm. And the neat thing is when you go to that recruiter and you have that initial conversation, you're not signing on to anything but an initial commitment. That commitment can be as short as 3 years. You can sign up for more. There's reasons to do that. But once that initial commitment's coming up, you have a choice whether you want to stay in or go out. But I'll tell you this. If you sign up for 3 years, you're going to be walking away with a lot of skills that are going to help you. You're going to be paid to do it. A lot of our airmen are able to immediately join the Air Force, start putting money away. The government has a investment system. We call it the Thrift Savings Plan, but they will match you. So you're starting in as an 18-year-old. You're already getting matched for retirement savings. So just some great benefits there. The post 9/11 GI Bill is an amazing law that has really transformed a lot of people's lives. So you've got airmen that get through their initial commitment, and then the government's going to help them go to college and do something out in the civilian sector. But I will tell you, I have never run into anybody who retired from the military and regretted that 20 year or 30 years of service. Not a single person have I seen that. So I absolutely love the military. If 15 years from today I find out that all three of my kids enlisted in the Air Force, I will be so pleased and know I did my job as a good father. So hopefully that happens.
Absolutely. And, you know, and there's a lot of kids out there, young people that really, you know, are maybe trying to find direction and trying to find that mission in their life. Like, what are they supposed to do? And, you know, the military is a great way to really hone in on a mission for your life and figure out what you can do to contribute. We live in the greatest country in the world, obviously, United States of America. And one of the greatest things you can do is join your military and help out in the defense of our country.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's a lot of other things that, you know, so when you join, maybe if you joined as an Alaskan, then they might move you to another country. They might, you know, you might do your basic training. How does that work exactly? You probably go somewhere warm. You know, some young people might want to, you know, explore the world a little bit. Can you explore the world as an airman?
You absolutely can. And, you know, there's really two ways you can go about this. One, you can join a guard unit in Alaska. So if you're an Alaskan and you want to stay in Alaska, just go to a National Guard recruiter. There's Army and Air Force, and they're here in Fairbanks. And you can ask what it looks like. Where would you work? Eielson's got a very large 168th wing. They're always looking for talent, and that really becomes your new family. I mean, some of those people have been in that unit for 30-plus years or more for some of the traditional guardsmen that have full-time jobs as a civilian here in Fairbanks and other towns. And then they occasionally go down and then they put on their military uniform and they provide that service to the guard. Others wear their uniform every day and they're full-time guardsmen. If you want to travel the world, it's absolutely possible. You don't always get a pick where, I'll tell you that.
Sure.
But you get a say. And then you can do things like Carson over here. He could say, I'll go to Korea for 1 year with a base of preference on the back end. So you'll see people, they really want to get to Germany or England or somewhere, and they'll choose to do a one-year remote somewhere else. Or they'll deploy, and then you get some preference on where you'll go next. Me personally, if I could get to South Korea for 3 more years, I'd absolutely do it. But I'm getting to the age they don't care where I want to go. They just tell me, which is fine. We've loved it.
Well, that's good. Yeah, you know, I mean, traveling the world is something that you could possibly do.
Absolutely.
If you join the military. But being in Alaska, there's something called, is this a new thing, the Arctic incentive pay?
I do not know if it's a new thing. I know it's been in discussion and it was finally approved. But some of what we see is, like we talked about, the interior of Alaska comes with unique challenges, and some of it, and I absolutely love this. Part of the fun part of my job is I get to meet the new airmen that show up at our base. And I mean, they all have great attitudes. They're excited to be here, but they're from South Carolina. I've met more people from Houston. I don't know what's happening in Houston right now, but a lot of people are signing up and being sent to Alaska. But they don't have cold weather gear.
Mm.
And, you know, part of this is you show up in late summer, you got to buy a lot of warm weather gear or cold weather gear, and you got to winterize those vehicles. You may not even have a vehicle. What is your plan to get around? And so it just comes with additional costs. And then from here, they might be sent to Hawaii next. And they got all this cold weather gear. So
bunny boots in Hawaii, probably right. Not the most comfortable.
Yep.
So there was just an announcement through Department of Veterans Affairs, National Cemetery Administration. They awarded the grant to the state for the creation of Interior Alaska Veterans Cemetery. And the state purchased that land a couple of years back out in Salcha. There's 200 and I think 57 acres of a property for that cemetery. And through the state, we've invested a couple, $2.5 million, I think, in federal matching. But that federal match of the $16.7 million for the federal grant that Dan Sullivan just announced Wednesday, actually, that's amazing. You know, the veterans who serve our nation, especially those here in the interior, in the surrounding Arctic villages, you know, up north, Fairbanks is kind of a hub. And for those who want to stay in Alaska or have their final resting place, it is really a beautiful area out there in Salcha, close to Eielson there, just a little south. And I'm just really thankful that the federal government, we've got that grant, and that is moving forward. I actually have the design plans on my desk in my office. If anybody wants to come by, that's at the third floor at the Global building over there next to Home Depot. But what do you think about that, that we actually are getting a veteran cemetery for the interior of Alaska?
I think it's absolutely wonderful, and I just really appreciate the state and you and others that came together to get this across the finish line. There's a lot of competition, as you know, for how to spend our taxpayer dollars and private donations, and to see it be used like this to honor service members is just it's wonderful, and it definitely shows where priorities are around here, and we just really appreciate it. I hope to be flying F-35s over the top of that one day.
Absolutely. Ribbon cutting coming soon, I'm sure. And, you know, especially the number of veterans that live in Alaska, the percentage. It is such a high percentage because they love this area. Like you said, you see the beautiful everything, the beautiful state that we have here. And they want to stay and they want to be home. And they want that beautiful final resting place. So that's amazing. I know we're running close to the end of the hour. And I know you wanted to talk a little bit about housing and for those in Eielson and childcare. Is there anything you want to mention about those?
Yeah, issues? I know we're running short on time here, sir. But in terms of housing, we're really clear-eyed. You know, Fort Wainwright's mission's probably growing a bit here. We know our mission's growing a bit, which means more people are coming. And we don't know if the airmen and soldiers that are coming are married, have children, what exactly they're looking for housing. But we know housing's constrained. And we want to be good stewards of people trying to move to Fairbanks that are non-military. We want a pool of homes for everybody. But as these missions grow, it's almost like we're all in direct competition to try and suck up every house that's available. Some of the challenges is there's a lot more Airbnbs. People are Airbnbing out their homes, and they're just unavailable for our service members. But we have a lot of members that are showing up with a spouse and three children. I don't have room on my installation. I have 905 homes. They're almost filled to capacity. We've got to find a place for them to live. So we're looking from south of Salcha all the way to the west side of Fairbanks for housing for them. And we just want to make sure that we're good stewards, that there's enough homes for local Alaskans to move into and just enough rental places as well as private homes.
So we need a building boom, I think, is what we're saying, and especially with things like the pipeline coming on, hopefully,
yes.
Gas line. That's you know, that's going to create even more pressure on the available.
About 30 seconds.
And so we have about 30 seconds left. I'd just like to turn it over to you. Anything you want to tell the community about Eielson, about joining, about your mission, anything you want to say?
I'd just like to express my gratitude. Alaskans, like I said, this has been the best reception I've ever had. Our family feels so welcome here, and I'm just excited to keep meeting Alaskans for the time I'm here.
That's amazing. Yeah, this really is a golden heart of Alaska, and a lot of good people here. And so with that, I am Representative Frank Tomaszewski. My guest today, Colonel Johnson from Eielson Air Force Base. Thank you for coming in with all your help and what you do for our country.
Thank you, sir.